So the reason I'm sitting here with a guitar is because the Lord gave me a song that I feel like I'm supposed to sing as a way to kind of open up the discussion this morning and the message that God has for us from His Word. And so bear with me, and I just ask you just to listen to the words of the song, the message of the song, and allow the Lord to prepare your heart for what He wants to say to you this morning.
A child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in a usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he said, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks, Dad, for the ball. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today. I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed. And he said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. But we'll get together then, son. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came home from college just the other day. So much like a man, I just had to say. Son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, oh, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please? Now, long since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my job's a hassle and the kids have the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Well, the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man in the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when. But we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then.
So I sang that song this week. The first three times I was bawling at the end. You know, in our society, in our time, the family is under heavy attack. And so as the people of God, we're turning to the Word of God, to what He has to say, and for strategies on how to fight for the family, how to fight for what God has sovereignly and beautifully designed and created for mankind. Our primary scripture throughout this entire series has been from Ephesians 5 and the first part of Ephesians chapter 6. This morning we're going to put the gloves back on, using this boxing metaphor. We're going to step back into the ring. It's round 3. In our fight for the family, we find that there is a fight for our children. That's the title of today's message, a fight for our children. It says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, fathers, do not exasperate or frustrate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. In Proverbs 22:6, it encourages us to train up our children in the way that they should go. In Psalm 127, verse 3, we're told that children are a reward, they're a gift from God. And so with this understanding that we have from God's Word, it would certainly seem fitting that we would want to train our children appropriately and in the fear and the instruction of the Lord. But what does this training look like? How does it happen? How do we fight for our children and do it God's way? The Lord has shown me this week three different examples, three different precepts and principles straight from His Word on how we can train up our children His way. How we can fight for our children. The first principle is this. It's called the mini-me principle. You heard me. It's the mini-me principle, and it's in the Bible, okay? So don't be thinking, where's this guy going? It's basically this reality that our children are watching and they will be like us. And Jesus demonstrated this truth. In John chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, Jesus gave them this answer. He said, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by Himself. He can do only what He sees the Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. The relationship between the Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus, the Son, is perfect, is it not? It's a perfect relationship, and it's a perfect model for us of what God has designed the parent-child relationship to be. Notice God created children with a desire and really a predisposition to be like dad and to be like mom. Children are created to copy mom and dad, to mimic mom and dad, to follow mom and dad. And again, Jesus demonstrated this reality in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Says the Son, Jesus, the Son is the radiance or the reflection of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. The Son, the reflection of the Father. Similarly, our children will also reflect us and represent who we are. Our kids are going to do the same thing. They will become mini-me's of us. And in many ways, that's what's happened with me in my life. In many ways, I'm a mini-me of my dad. The things that I picked up while at home, while he was raising me, I also picked those up. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And there was a lot of good. I want to give my dad some props right now, okay? From my dad, I learned sound financial management. I learned responsibility. I learned how to fix things, how to take care of the house and other things. He gave me a love for music. I never took guitar lessons. I picked it up from my dad. He'd sit around singing Glenn Campbell songs and other folk music and stuff, and I'd be listening going, I want to be like that. I want to do what he's doing. And I'd grab that guitar when he was done, and I would try to play what he was playing. So I picked up a love for music. Learned how to plant a church. A lot of it from my dad, as he was part of planting a church in our local hometown of Mount Vernon, Illinois. But I also picked up other stuff. The bad and the ugly. And we all have it, okay? I'm not trying to get down to my dad right now. We all have it. And so I picked up some things. One of those things I picked up was anger. Now, he picked it up from his dad, who probably picked it up from his dad. I want to say this before I continue. Since then, and we're seeing God bring transformation and healing and victory in those areas, the bad and the ugly areas. Just because we pick something up or because we have been some way doesn't mean that that's our destiny and our future, because God is transforming and making all things new. And He's doing that in our lives. And He's so good to do that. But notice this mini-me principle. One thing that it demonstrates is that in many ways we are passing down to our children generational blessings and generational curses. Passing down our ways of thinking, our ways of living. We're passing down our ways of responding to situations. We're passing down values and how we spend our time and our resources. We're passing down how we relate to other people, the value of other people, and we're passing down how to relate to God. Really the most important thing. Parents, you see, we have a big role. We've been called to show our children. Notice it's not just tell our children how to live for God and how to live life. We've been called to actually show our children how to live God's way. And Paul gives us an explanation of how he's even embraced this. Now, the Apostle Paul didn't have any biological children, but the Apostle Paul had a lot of spiritual children. Much of the church were his spiritual children. And this is what Paul said as he understood the mini-me principle that we're talking about this morning in parenting our children and raising them up and training up. Paul said this. He said, follow me, do life like me, as I follow Christ. You see the mini-me principle at work there. Paul understood that children will follow their parents. And they will pick those things up. And so he understood that he better be a mini-me of Jesus. Paul's basically saying, be a mini-me of me, because by God's grace, I'm being a mini-me of Jesus. And that's what we're all called to do. That's how we're called to live, parents. No matter where you are, what stage or age you are in the parenting. I was thinking about it, just the power of this mini-me principle. And the children imitating and being like the parents, which made me think about this whole thing with kids turning away from the Lord. There's a lot of things that turn kids away from the Lord. But one thing that definitely will turn children away from the Lord is when a parent will preach religion, but not live out a real relationship with God. When it's all talk, but it's not real. I'm convinced that the greatest thing that we can do to help our children live for God is for us to walk in personal reality with the Lord at all times and all ways, because they're watching us. They want to be like us. They're learning from us. And that's really the legacy that's worth leaving, isn't it? Is a legacy of chasing after God and making Him number one. And this is why we exist, and this is real life. It's life with God, enjoying Him and glorifying Him. That's the legacy that's worth leaving. And so what does it look like to train up and bring up our children in God's way? We've got the mini-me principle, and that is our children will be like us. So let's chase after Jesus. Let's follow Him. But now let's look at the second principle that we can find in God's Word about how to parent. It's the WWJD principle. How do we fight for our children? WWJD. Basically, how would Jesus parent our children? Many Christians ask the WWJD question, what would Jesus do about so many areas of life? But have you ever asked it about what would Jesus do as a parent? How would He lead my family? I think it's a pretty important question for us to ask as parents. How would Jesus raise our children? We all know this. Jesus wasn't married. Jesus did not have any biological children. But He did know how to parent. And He did demonstrate how to parent as He had disciples. Basically, He had spiritual children. And He shows how to interact with children as He interacted with His spiritual children, the disciples. And Jesus, for one thing, He didn't send His disciples, these spiritual children, just off one direction every morning to do life, while He went the other direction to be the Savior of the world and to bring the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't operate that way. He didn't spiritually parent in that way. Jesus didn't leave His disciples at home while He went to preach to the multitudes. Rather, Jesus brought them along. He brought His spiritual children along with Him in life. Jesus' disciples went where Jesus went. They learned real life in a hands-on, integrated way with Jesus as they really did life with Him. They walked with Him. They were there when Jesus was healing, when He was preaching, when He was just laughing and having fun, when people were making comments about Him and persecuting Him. They were there with Him. They weren't off some other place. They were with Jesus. Jesus used nearly every life experience as a discipleship opportunity. Think of it this way. What if we were reading the Bible and it said, Jesus went off and did all these miracles, but it's all good because he scheduled some quality time with his disciples. They weren't there when all the miracles were happening, but he scheduled quality time. And you know, he had 12 of them, so that's a lot of time. So he could maybe give about 30 minutes for each disciple each week. And so could you imagine reading this in one of the Gospels? And so he met with John for 30 minutes to instruct him and tell him how to bring the kingdom of God and what it looked like to be a follower and how amazing and all the big things that were going to happen. And then he met with Matthew and the others. He didn't do that, did he? He didn't do that. He didn't just schedule quality time. He didn't compartmentalize life. He didn't spiritually parent in a compartmentalized fashion. Well, this is my work life and my profession and my calling and everything. And then these are my spiritual children that I got to figure out how to not mess up and do something good with. And they're separate somehow. Jesus didn't do life that way. Jesus embraced his calling and he included his disciples in his calling and in his ministry. And Jesus is our example in all things. He's our example. So we're to parent like Jesus would. And we're to include our kids in our pursuit of God, which is everything, isn't it? I mean, we're not just supposed to pursue God on Sunday morning or at life group or for 15 minutes in the morning as we do our Bible time. No. In him we live and move and have our being. So it's in all things. We parent and let our kids see us going after God at all times, and we include them in on it. Involve our kids in our lives. Let them see us process life for God's glory. Don't leave them behind. Don't leave them out. I mean, our kids, they need to see how we handle disappointment. You know, often we fall for this lie that we are there to protect our children. I want you to be careful about where you go with that. And so we don't let our kids see the difficulties that we go through. We don't want them to know that somebody's saying something bad about us or that we're having financial issues or anything like that. We want to protect them from that. We don't want them to see it. We don't want them to have to worry about it. Meanwhile, they don't learn how to, in a godly way, process those things. When and how are they going to pick those up? If they don't see how we handle disappointments, if they don't see how we handle financial hardship and issues and failures and how we handle it when somebody treats us wrongly, lies or cheats us in some way, how do they know how to love the unlovable unless they see us do it? They need to see how we give to others. They need to see what generosity looks like. They need to see and watch us apologize and ask for forgiveness. They need to see those things, how we handle temptation, how we pray, and how we lean on God for everything. If they don't learn it from us and see us modeling it, then where are they going to learn it from? The world's a pretty nasty place. As a pastor, I make every attempt to bring my kids along with me. I want to bring them along with me. So you'll see my kids in a lot of ministry things, at a lot of meetings. You'll think, oh, those poor kids, they got to be at another church meeting. They could be home playing video games. Yeah, that's going to really give them vision about who they are and how big God is. So I want to bring my kids along because they need to see what I'm doing. They need to see what it looks like to be a man and handle situations. And when I was a realtor, I did the same thing. So it's not just like, well, you got to be a pastor and be in full-time ministry to really make this successful. No. When I was a realtor, I did the same thing. I brought my kids along with me. Anytime I wasn't meeting with a client, now if it was like a family member client, I'd bring my kids along with me, man. Come on, more the merrier. But if it was another professional client of some sort, I might not have my kids with me then, but every other opportunity, my kids were with me. We go to set up for an open house, my kids were there. We're putting up signs, my kids are there. We're going in for walkthroughs and different things, my kids were there. I worked out of the house, so they got to hear all the conversations and the different things were going on. And they got to hear when a deal didn't happen or I lost a client or something disappointing happened. They got to know about it. I didn't shelter them from that. They need to know how to process life because they're going to process life. And who are they going to learn it from? include my kids in projects around the house, involve my kids in my life. I don't protect my family from my work life. Now, I don't share with my kids and my family things that you personally share with me as a pastor, okay? So just put that out on the table, you know what I'm saying? We don't go there, all right? But I'm just saying, I don't protect my kids from my work life. Because that's an amazing discipleship opportunity. And it's a blessing and a tool God has given me to raise my kids and for them to see how to handle things. And I don't always get it right. That's why I get to go back and ask for forgiveness and apologize and all of that. So we've got the mini-me principle, which now you know is in the Bible. You can tell your friends the mini-me principle is in the Bible. We've got the WWJD principle in parenting. Let's go into the third principle. The third is much like the second principle, very similar. It's called the Noah principle, meaning that our personal calling, what God has called us to do personally, is also our family calling. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. And I want to stop on that statement for a moment. That's key right there. How all the rest of this happens. Noah walked with God. We want to train up our children. We want to fight for our children. Noah walked with God. Walk with God. And Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So we see that Noah glorified God, and because Noah walked with God, glorified him, he was the only person that the Lord decided to use and to save as it related to the flood. And so the Lord called Noah to build an ark. Who built the ark?
Noah.
Who built the ark?
Brother
Noah built the ark. That's, you know, song. I got to send some of you back to VBS and stuff like that. Who built the ark? Noah, Noah. Who built the ark? Brother Noah built the ark. All right. All right. I know some of you came to Christ a little later. You haven't picked that one up, but now you've heard it. And you can go back and Google it and all that stuff if you want to. The Lord called Noah to build an ark to save mankind, to save creation, really. He called one man to do it. He called Noah to do that. But instead of Noah living out his calling alone, he decided to include his whole family in on what God had called him to do. And as a result, what happens? Noah and his whole family were allowed to enter the ark and they were saved from the flood. Noah didn't say, look, family come together, we're having our little family meeting, it's family devotional time, so here we come together. He didn't say, okay, Noah family, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and all the rest of you guys, all right, just to let you know, God gave me a big task. It's going to take 120 years. I'm going to go build a big boat. A what? A boat. I know, I don't know what it is, but he's giving me all the plans. I'm going to go build a big boat while I go do what God has called me to do. The rest of you, just figure out life over here. Don't be too rough on mom. Find some wives, have children, and all this stuff. But I got to do the work of the Lord. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. He said, God has given me an amazing calling. It's big, it's huge, and I want you to come along with me because you're my family. He took his personal calling and he made it the family calling. That's exciting. And it worked. How about that? The whole family was saved from the flood. Men, listen, your faith matters to your entire family. Like Noah, you walking with God matters in a big, big way to your family. But don't take your role as a father, as a spiritual leader lightly. Please don't. It is important. I'm not saying this to put a bunch of stress and pressure on you, because that's not what God does. But I'm saying it because it is significant. When God gives us a calling in life, how many of you know when God gives something, it's significant because it's from God. It's from God. So don't take that role and that calling as a father lightly. You set the tone. You provide covering. What you do affects your children and the generations that follow. What you do, men. God has called us to glorify Him. He's called us to lead our families. And Noah shows us that the best way we can do this is to answer God's call to live for Him and then to include our families in it, to bring them along, to make our calling the family calling. Check this out. I'm hoping that this is going to provide a breath of fresh air for every parent in here right now. Notice this. The family calling that we're talking about, parenting God's way and handling our children God's way, it isn't about adding more stuff to your lives. There's nothing in here about a parenting program and some new program that you have to add to your life. It's not about more rules or more work in your lives. In fact, it's the exact opposite of that. God's word isn't saying, you go be a man and provide for your families and do a career and lead people to the Lord and serve in the church and do all that. And oh, now I'm giving you kids and ha, you got all this extra work that you have to do and you got to figure that out. He didn't do that to us. He said, just go be who you are. Do what I've called you to do and just bring your family along with you. It's very simple. And in bringing your family along, you will have your quality time. And God will move in some big ways. This isn't more stuff. God didn't come to put a yoke on you as a parent, to put a burden on you. Your children are not a burden. They're a blessing from the Lord. He's not coming saying, here's more stuff you have to do. He's saying, I've called you to do some amazing things. Just bring them along. Bring them along and watch out what happens. The generations will be transformed because of it. It's a shift in thinking because we've been programmed a certain way over the generations, especially here in the Western world. There's all this programming, all these, the wisdom of man on how to parent and all the hoops we have to create and make and jump through. And God says, man, just chase after me. Walk with me. Let your children not only see it, but bring them along because they're watching. They're watching. Our society and families have been so fractured. They've been torn apart. We've compartmentalized our lives. This is my work life, and this is my friend life, and this is my play life, this is my church life, this is my family life, and we're running ourselves ragged, and we're failing everywhere. You ever feel that way, parents? Man, I feel like I'm failing at work, and I'm failing at the home, too. I feel like I can't get either one of them right because I'm getting pulled in opposite directions. Like there's some kind of opposing thing in your life. And God's saying, why are you looking at it as opposing and in different directions? Why don't you just look at it my way and bring it all together? Look at life God's way and live life His way. Children aren't a duty or a responsibility. Maybe somebody needs to hear that. Your children aren't a duty. And they're really not just a responsibility. Instead, they're members of your family. They're members of your team. They're part of this amazing thing that God has put together and knit together, your family. They're not just a duty. Being a follower of Christ is not just a duty or a responsibility. And it's not just another compartment in our lives that we add to our already full lives. We integrate the Lord into everything. He's involved in everything in our lives and in every way. That's what it means to be a Christian, and this is what our children need to see. That's all about the Lord. They need to see you chasing after Him, and they need you to bring them along with you when you do that. In 2008, it was a very supernatural calling for me to go to Ghana, Africa. I was in a prayer meeting. And the Lord very clearly told me, Eric, you need to go spend 30 days in Ghana, Africa with Pastor Emmanuel. And the next day, supernaturally, we heard that virtually at the same time that Emmanuel had heard from the Lord, and it came together without us talking to each other, that he had heard from the Lord that I'm supposed to come spend a month with him in Ghana, Africa. So I knew very clearly that the Lord had a calling for me to spend a month in 2008. In Ghana, Africa, and he had some things that he wanted to do, and I was convinced of it. But then in my spirit, I also knew this. It's not just my calling. I need to bring my family along. Yeah, I need to bring my little 3- and 4-year-olds along to Ghana, Africa, where there's no running water, where we stayed. Out in the bush. I need to bring my sons along, who both have severe allergies to nuts and that have been in the hospital, and their lives have been rescued in the hospital with all the fancy American medication and everything. But I'm supposed to take them to Ghana, Africa, where there's none of that kind of stuff. I knew my calling, and I knew that it wasn't just my calling, but it was the family calling. As a result of responding to this calling, my oldest son, Jake, has gone back with me 2 more times to Ghana, Africa. The Lord has moved mightily in his heart. Every one of my children's lives have been changed. Their perspective on life and people and God has been transformed because I didn't leave them at home, but I brought them along, and I included them in what God was calling me to do. It wasn't just my calling. It was a family calling. I think of Carlos and Natalie Valiente. You know, Carlos and Natalie, man, they were convinced. They knew the Lord was leading them this direction, and then the day came, and they both said to each other at the same time, we're supposed to move to Ethiopia. They knew what their calling was as parents, but they also understood it wasn't just their calling, the two of them. But it was a family calling, and they brought their kids along. And if you know the Valientes, you saw the excitement of that team, that family, as they departed for what God was going to do and is doing already at this time in them and through all of them as a family. So we've talked about 3 principles we see in God's Word about parenting, training up our children, fighting for our children God's way, and how it's not a burden, because God's ways are not a burden. I want to transition here as we're getting ready to close into another topic related to parenting. And I want to talk about adult children and how we parent our adult children. We have many in the church who are empty nesters, who have kids that are, you know, older. We have some people here with kids who are in their 60s. And you could be thinking, well, all right, that was a great message for all those young families, and I wish I would have heard that when I was their age, but they got it now. They better lead that way. But my time is done. I had my time, and it's too late. But I want to say that it's not too late. Is anything too late with God? Is anything too late with God? Is anything impossible with God? Nothing is impossible, and it's never too late. My grandfather came to Christ months before he passed away at the age of 96. It's never too late. Nothing is impossible. The Lord continues to go after people because he loves people. It's never too late. And our children are still listening. I don't care if they're 65 years old. Your children are still listening. And your words still matter. And your actions still matter. My dad's words, the letters that he'll write me, they impact me. He says things in his letters to me like, son, I'm proud of you. Son, you're a good man, you're a good husband, you're a good dad, and you're a good pastor. Son, I admire you and I respect you. I love you. And I will tell you that probably every other letter that I read that my dad sends me on a birthday or other occasion, I'm weeping by the end. I have a good relationship with my dad. We don't live close to one another. We don't get to see each other very often. But I have a good relationship, but the words he speaks will bring me to tears because his words are powerful in my life. Our words are powerful. They have the power of life. Yeah, death also, but I'm going to talk about the power of life. Our words, your words, have the power of life in them. My dad's words will bring me to tears, touch my heart deeply, build me up. They'll launch me into even more of who I'm created to be. They'll correct me at times because his words are powerful. Even now when I'm older, I'm going to be 50 years old in less than 2 years. I know, I only look like I'm 25. I get it, you know. I'm joking. If you're listening online, I'm joking. You didn't get to see my face. But parents, your words matter. Your position as a parent is God-ordained, and it's powerful. It's a powerful position. And so the words that you speak are extremely powerful in your children's lives because your role is ordained by God. And I want to just talk to all the parents today, but even right now, specifically those with adult children. You know, I don't know what the situation is with the relationship with your child. Maybe it's a really good relationship. But there's many that have strained relationships with their older children, or their children aren't walking with the Lord right now, and it's a disappointment, and you have a concern about that, and they've made some decisions in their life that has made it hard on you. I want to say, parents, whatever the situation is, I want to encourage you to go to the Lord. I want to encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. And I do believe that He will give you words to speak, and He'll give you the right time to speak them, in the right context to speak them into. And I believe the Lord will continue to draw you to Him. And as you continue to follow God with everything that's in you, even your adult children will be watching. And they'll be picking up. And they'll be embracing. And it will be changing them. And I want to say this other thing, parents. Your prayers are powerful. How many times have you heard the testimonies of athletes who'll say, well, my grandma or my mom, she just kept praying for me when I was being an idiot out there. She kept praying for me, kept praying for me, kept praying for me. And now I'm walking with God. I'm not broken anymore. So it's never too late. It's never finished. God is able to do the impossible and the big things. You know, Jesus came in the power of Elijah to do what? To turn the hearts of fathers and mothers to their children. Jesus came because of the heart of the Father. He sent His Son to this earth with that anointing and that spirit of Elijah that was really on Him to turn those hearts of fathers and mothers to their children. Because when the heart of the father and mother is for the children, it's powerful. Powerful. And the Lord has given us, His children, insight. He's given us these principles in the Bible that will help us as we fight for our children. I want to close by declaring a statement that was also made by the Apostle Paul. It's found in Philippians 1, verse 6. And Paul spoke this to his spiritual children, the church in Philippi. And Paul said, I am sure of this. He didn't just say, this might be true. He said, I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. He'll finish it. And I just want to say that to all of us as parents. God is faithful, and He will help us finish well. But we, like Noah, we need to walk with God. We need to lean on Him, and we need to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us as we parent our children. And my hope and my desire this morning is that this message in no way brought condemnation to any parent here, because that's not God's heart. That's not what He wants. My prayer and my hope this morning is that this message didn't put a bunch of burden on anybody here as a parent. But my prayer and my hope this morning is that you heard the heart of God through His Word. And the plan of God and the grace of God and the provision of God that He has for you as a parent. And that you'll be bold enough to go to Him even right now at this time. And to trust Him with your present and with your future as a parent. Whatever age or stage you are in and your children are in. And so I want to give us an opportunity this morning to respond to God and do just exactly that. I want to invite parents to come forward. To come forward to lay it down to the Lord. Maybe you're in a situation where you just feel burdened right now and you don't know what to do, or you feel guilty because you feel like you've done it wrong and now what? You feel like it's too late. You don't know how to move forward. You don't have to know all that. You don't have to figure it all out. You need to give it to the Lord. You need to lay it at the feet of Christ, who loves you, who is faithful to complete it, and you need to let Him move in you and through you and give you, first of all, peace and direction as you see God move. So I want to invite you to come forward even right now as an act of faith and surrender to the Lord as parents and just begin to lay it at His feet. Lord, we come to you this morning. Come to you this morning, humble Lord. Desperate for you. We come to you this morning, God, in faith. Thank you for letting us come. Thank you for allowing us to lay our burdens at your feet this morning. Thank you for allowing us to lay our dreams at your feet. Even our children at your feet once again, God. God, we thank you that your burden, your yoke, they're light, God. They're easy. And so we give it to you, God. We give it all to you, God. Our hopes, our prayers, our dreams, God. We give it all to you, God. Leaning upon you and no one else. Holy Spirit, would you come upon each one of us this morning? And would you lead us into the peace that passes understanding? Would you lead us, God, into the peace, Lord God? Trusting you in all things at all times. And God, would you lead us into the joy of being your children and the joy of being parents, God. Thank you for forgiving us, for making us new. Thank you that today's a new day, God. Thank you that your mercies are new right now, that we can walk forward in newness. Thank you, Lord. We give it to you, Jesus. We give it to you, Jesus. We give it to you. And we thank you, God, that your plans are good to give us a hope and a future. God, we thank you. And so we rise up now in faith and in peace because you are God and you've got this. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.